This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake's second WWE Roadblock preview of 2016. If you're interested in hearing Jason Powell and Jake Barnett talk about WWE Roadblock on Sunday night just after the show, sign up for ProWrestling.net membership and get the member-exclusive audio review of WWE Roadblock. Plus, you can read Jason Powell's Roadblock coverage on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. It is $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out, or $5.50 a month if you're in the mood to take that annual option. Get your ProWrestling.net membership. And now, enjoy the show. So, Jake, I don't know about you, but come Sunday, I am going to be thinking about probably anything but WWE Roadblock, end of the road line. Sunday's my 7th wedding anniversary, so I don't think I'm going to be allowed to, or will even want to watch WWE Roadblock, The Road Ends Here.
Yeah, we... The subtext is quite hilarious, just because they had a roadblock. What was it, February? Or I can't remember when that was.
Early, there were a lot of roadblocks.
March, I think it was March. So the congratulations on your wedding anniversary. God help you if you try to watch wrestling on your anniversary. But I'm actually not exactly looking forward to this show. I mean, really? There's just – I watch Raw on a weekly basis, and I'm just bored to tears by it. And I think it's a lot to do with 3 hours, and a lot of these feuds just don't really
grab me. Well, at least this pay-per-view could go shorter than 3 hours.
Yeah, that's true. There's just nothing about it that just screams like, oh man, I really need to see this. Like, you know, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. I mean, you know, Sasha Banks and Charlotte. I guess the Iron Woman match is probably, you know, if you've been a fan of their previous efforts, that's a draw. But you know, there's just none of these feuds that I'm just like, oh man, I can't wait to see the next step in this feud. Like, it's just not a place, you know, where I'm just excited about it. Like going into the show, a pay-per-view, like the SmackDown TLC show, I was like, hey, this looks like it actually could be the conclusion to some of these feuds. This is exciting, but we're just in sort of placeholder mode now heading towards the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it definitely seems like we're in placeholder mode. And there are a couple things I'm wondering about on this show, but not that many that I am very excited about. To me, the most exciting thing on the show is Charlotte versus Sasha in that 30-minute Iron Man match. However, I'm also kind of tired of watching Charlotte and Sasha work, which we talked about last week. And so I find it kind of problematic that this match is happening now. It's going to be good. I'm going to watch it probably Monday, like first thing Monday morning. I don't know that I'll be super psyched about it afterwards. I'll probably say it was a pretty good match. Nothing else on this show really excites me. Do we want to start with the pre-show and work our way up to the main event?
Sounds like a very valid strategy to me.
Yeah. The pre-show match is Big Cass versus Rusev in what I consider to be the most problematic feud on WWE TV. Everything about it's awkward, and I really don't care. I don't even want to give a prediction for this match. I give zero swear words about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I just don't understand, I guess, the feud and the way that they have pursued sort of creating the controversy on television. It feels regressive in ways that you know, that don't really fit their sort of contrasting narrative with the women's division. I understand, you know, that relationships and, you know, shades of gray make for interesting characters in some contexts, but the way that they go about, you know, Big Cass and Enzo and this whole thing with Rusev and Lana, it was insulting to everyone's intelligence to watch it play out on television. And how they got there and what ended up happening was, you know, not only predictable, but just boring and derivative. And there's nothing particularly interesting about watching it, and there's nothing that really keeps you coming back to watch it again. I mean, that what they did on Monday with Lana and Rusev boring everyone to tears in the hopes that it would actually make Big Cass's promo seem good by comparison completely failed. Like, there's just no heat on this match at all.
Yeah, it's bad. Moving on, the New Day defend the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships against Cesaro and Sheamus. The New Day broke the record. Is it already time to take those titles off of them?
I was of the opinion that they would hold the titles until they broke the record and then lose them immediately. So that's exactly what I'm going to predict here.
They don't want that record getting too out of hand. I don't know that they lose them immediately. I could see the New Day losing them at or around the Rumble, but I don't know that it's time yet, so I will actually pick the New Day here, but I kind of hope Cesaro and Sheamus win the titles. It's a better thing to get those titles off of the New Day and have someone else.
They had that somewhat well-received barroom brawl a couple weeks ago with Cesaro and Sheamus, and then yep. they haven't really followed it up with anything meaningful or substantial since then. That's been kind of disappointing. Like, I was hoping we were going to get a series of those, because Sheamus and Cesaro as the Euro APA was kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Like, that, I could see that in just Irish pubs around the country fighting. What do you think of Braun Strowman versus Sami Zayn with a 10-minute time limit?
I think it's dangerous to put anybody in the ring with Braun Strowman for longer than 2 minutes. So 10 minutes seems kind of insane to me. But I mean, the way they went about setting it up on Monday with the whole trade and Foley getting under Sammy's skin to see if he really had what it took to stand up to Strowman, to go to that, you know, quote unquote dark place that he likes to talk about all the time. I mean, I didn't mind it necessarily. I think, you know, it led Sami Zayn to get fired up, which is always a good thing. But I'm still not sold on Braun Strowman in matches. Like, he just seems unsafe at times. And you know, when he's not unsafe, he looks really green. And so I guess it's a hard sell for me to want to watch this for 10 minutes. But if anybody can get something good out of him, it's Sami.
I think I'm very interested to see how they work in hope spots, how the crowd rallies behind Sami Zayn, and I'm really hoping the crowd does rally behind Sami Zayn as this match goes on. It should be kind of fascinating. I am with you in that I think Braun may not be ready for it, but I've also enjoyed the way WWE has pushed Braun Strowman up to this point. I think Sami survives the 10 minutes, but just barely. And I think that scene is like a moral victory for him, even though he doesn't, say, end up being even though he may not end up being the de facto winner of the match. Rich Swann will defend the Cruiserweight Championship against TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick in a triple threat match. This one has the potential to be high-flying and crazy, but I don't care about Perkins, who is playing a weird tweener role to me right now. I do care about Rich Swann, and I care about Brian Kendrick losing. Like, I think they've done a decent job building this up, but it's that thing where they're putting the cruiserweights out there again with a crowd that may not know them for what could be a slightly longer match. Ooh, I'm a little bit worried.
I think you have good reason to be worried. It just hasn't been that interesting. I think the feud itself has been, you know, kind of fun on 205 Live if you've watched that show. I mean, I think they've improved quite a bit in how they script these guys backstage. They aren't being asked to give, you know, the long promos or you know, the long form reactions to things. And I think that has sort of made their backstage segments a bit more tolerable, and there isn't the uncomfortable, you know, somebody asking the other guy to let him win and you know, making this sob story about his family. I think that was ineffective. But, you know, Rich Swann is a much better fit for what they're trying to do with the cruiserweights at this point. So I'm going to predict him to retain in a match that could be really good if they're allowed to sort of stretch out and do some high flying and whatnot. But it's going to depend on how much time they get and you know what else is going on the show, because I know WWE is pretty paranoid about, you know, reusing spots and showing up their main events and things of that nature. So they wouldn't want that to happen in the Cruiserweight match.
Yeah, I don't see them doing anything super dangerous, and I hope Rich Swann wins. Like you said, I think Swann's the guy for that division to build around right now. I think he fits the vision, and he's a guy who fans know they can cheer and invest in no matter what. So now they could build heels. Like I think having Swann on top actually allows them to build up the antagonist side of the Cruiserweight division nicely. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, 30-minute Iron Man match. I'm optimistic, like I said, that this will be good. I'm really hoping Sasha wins this. I don't want to... They've said there's no rematch clause, so whoever wins, wins. Do you think this is the time to break Charlotte's undefeated on pay-per-view streak, or do you think it's the time to move Sasha onto something else?
Yeah, I think Sasha wins, and I think they have to move on from here. It seems like they have been putting off debuting Emma until this program was over, and so perhaps after, you know, next week on Monday, they can debut her as a new heel to take on Charlotte, or excuse me, to take on Sasha, the babyface champion, and they can move Charlotte into something with Bayley. You know, it seems like they want to have that program, and it seems to make more sense to me to have it away from the championship, at least at first. So I'm optimistic that they're going to do the right thing here and move on from this after this match is over, and not try to turn it into, you know, another extension of the program by doing a title change, because I think that would be a huge waste. I mean, and it would be fun to me to see how Sasha would interact with what at least appears to be the Instagram model Emma is going to be, when she debuts. So that could be fun.
Yeah. I think Sasha versus Emma could be really fun. And Emma's someone who came up with these women who I think can have the types of matches that Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha and Becky and others have proven capable of. I think she's someone who doesn't get the credit that she deserves for having those kinds of matches. And I think a feud with Sasha Banks going into the new year could be really quite delightful. You also then have Bayley say you can then tell a parallel story with Bayley against Charlotte, against Dana Brooke, against Nia Jax. You have that antagonist side of that roster too, and you can tell two stories at once in the Raw Women's Division, which would just be a nice thing to see. I think this show could use another women's match, and I'm disappointed that we don't see it here. I would love to see a little bit more on that front. I'll pick Sasha to win and move on, and maybe you do have Nia Jax as a challenger after Emma or something like that as well. So there's a lot you can do with Sasha. What do you think, since we're getting to that season, what do you think the WrestleMania match is for the Raw Women's Division?
That's a good question. You know, I guess in my mind, I has had, you know, Sasha and Bayley penciled in, just because I think it's something that they could do really well if they wanted to work themselves into like a double, or not, I guess, not really a double turn, but into a Sasha heel turn at some point. And so I think that's their, I guess, the best match that I think that they could put forward, because I think we've done Sasha and Charlotte to death, and we don't really know much about the chemistry of how Emma would fit into this picture, and Nia Jax is still too green to put in that situation, and so I think it's got to be Sasha and Bayley.
I am kind of in that same boat. I think Sasha and Bayley is what makes sense. They can build to it. They can do the best friend story. I think that also means that we get a Charlotte match somewhere on that card. I don't think you are going to have WrestleMania without Charlotte there. I would rather not see a triple threat between Sasha, Bayley, and Charlotte, but that also wouldn't surprise me, because we have so often seen WWE opt for the get everyone on the show type of match and type of thing. But I hope that's not what we see there. Chris Jericho versus Seth Rollins. They're going to have a match. I think Rollins wins this as part of his path to redemption, but I don't care about the Seth Rollins path to redemption, and I find it really hard to invest in Chris Jericho, even though his work is fine. This one's a big old meh for me, like a lot of this show is.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same place, just a lot of apathy about it. Like, I don't think Seth Rollins has really kind of turned the corner on being a babyface. Like, I mean, if I have to hear him say sparkle crotch again, I think I'm going to shoot myself in the face. Like, it's just the worst. So if this is just one match and he can and just move on from Jericho right away, I'm fine with it. Just be done with it, because he needs to find his mojo as a babyface, and it's not going to come from working with guys like Jericho, who I don't think people take seriously as a heel. Like, he's going to need to work with somebody who the fans think is a real danger to Seth Rollins, and I don't think that they've portrayed Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens in a manner that people see them as dangerous.
Yeah, I think WWE has exposed a lot of their weakness in trying to get Seth Rollins over as a babyface, because a babyface is only as compelling as the heel they're facing in a lot of ways, and WWE has refused to give credibility to Kevin Owens, to Chris Jericho, to these heels that are that they're relying on to carry large portions of their program and to be their number one and number two heels against their number one and number two babyfaces. Rollins isn't getting over because people don't care about his feud with Chris Jericho, with the Authority, with Kevin Owens. It's all so weird and so intermingled that they really don't give a cuss. So I think it's a real issue there. I think Seth Rollins wins, and it's going to happen. Speaking of matches that will happen, Kevin Owens defends the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Is this get the belt on Reigns because Mania's coming time, or are we going to see some sort of wacky interference and weirdness that leads to Kevin Owens walking out with the Universal title?
Man, I think it would be received exceptionally poorly if Roman Reigns wins here. I hope that they see that. I don't think that they like he had that sort of, you know, move into a secondary feud with Rusev, and people sort of turned a bit of a corner on him, you know, where it's just like, yeah, you know, he seems to really fit well there for now. Like he had spent too much time at the top of the card, and forcibly so, where, you know, it just felt unnatural at times. And you know, even despite having some good matches along the way, you know, it just didn't feel like the crowd bought into it. And I don't think they're ready to buy in again without any significant changes to his character. While he's already holding the U.S. championship, I think it would be a disaster on that front. So I'm going to predict that Kevin Owens walks away with the championship, whether it's by some type of weird non-finish or interference or some underhanded way. I just can't see them doing a title change here.
Yeah, I can't see them doing a big title change, but has any belt meant less? Like, any like major title meant less than the Universal Championship? I'm happy that Kevin Owens is holding it, but it's a real bummer that with Kevin Owens holding it, Kevin Owens hasn't really evolved past the comedy him and Jericho were doing with Enzo and Cass going into SummerSlam. That they haven't found a way to give that character more credibility. They've just transitioned everything to be around a joke, essentially. And that is ultimately disappointing, and I think it's one of the reasons Raw just feels pointless a lot of times as a TV show, even though, like, this past Monday I thought the episode was good and fun. It's a joke, though.
Yeah, I mean, it really does feel like they have an issue with having heels be portrayed in a way where they get something over on a babyface. Like, it just so rarely happens that a heel wins without, you know, even without cheating. Like, there's always some BS excuse. And I understand, you know, that the heels can be booked to cheat in ways that get them heat, but it really generally isn't how they're booked on WWE television. It's just like, well, you know, the heel thumb the eye of somebody, or, you know, it causes the baby face to slip on the banana peel, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's never anything that comes across as like genuinely evil. And I think they really have to get to that point where guys like, you know, Owens and Jericho and you know, they can be taken seriously because they've legitimately, you know, caused someone harm. And it doesn't have to be, obviously, you know, just something they couldn't even do in a PG environment. But they have to push beyond just the oddball, quirky humor. Because in some ways, I think, you know, Owens and Jericho get better crowd reactions that seem like babyface reactions than Reigns and Rollins do a lot of the time.
Yeah. They need to find a way to make their heels actual heels, to make their antagonists actually antagonize. And until they do, they're going to have serious, serious issues on the Raw brand. And hopefully that gets fixed. I don't think we saw it last year, but we've seen WWE round into form for WrestleMania season before, and I truly hope that's what we see this year, and it's not just, look, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, that we do actually get WWE rounding into good storytelling form and telling compelling stories with the roster that they have. Yeah, are you talking about this show for .NET members with Jason on Sunday night?
We are, yeah. Nice. It's a standing event we talk after pay-per-view, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Jason and I are gonna try and talk after Star Wars, so that's also a standing event, talking about awesome Star Wars for .NET members. Little tough to schedule next week, but we're gonna find a way. That's how important Star Wars is to us.
I'm curious to see how Star Wars is received. I know
that delightful.
The reviews are great, but I'm just wondering, at what point do the fans go, oh, wait, it's the Death Star again? Because it seems to make its way into every movie.
At least this time it makes sense that it's the Death Star. Like, dare I say, spoiler alert, I don't think the Death Star blows up at the end of this one.
Well, that would be a fantastic turn of events. Just because, honestly, I'm waiting for, because I mean, The Empire Strikes Back is my favorite Star Wars movie, just because it, as a part of that arc, it was the most emotionally meaningful. And so I'm looking forward to another movie where they realize that, you know, if they end it on something, you know, somber, and they can actually pay dividends with the next film. Because I thought Episode 7 was a fantastic movie, you know, just for the nostalgia trip. But I don't think it narratively really pushed anybody's buttons.
And I think that's what Episode 8 will do. We'll find out in a year when Jason and I talk about Episode 8 sometime in December of 2017, should we all live to see it. With that dark note, have a nice weekend, Jake.
You too, man.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye.